ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। चैप्टर वन टेक्स्ट नंबर वन। सो एज इट वॉज अनाउंस यस्टरडे, टुडे वी आर बिगनिंग द 10th कैंटो विच इज कंसिडर्ड लाइक द स्माइलिंग फेस ऑफ श्रीमद भागवतम। श्रीमद भागवत हैज 12 कैंटोज। द फर्स्ट टू आर कंसिडर्ड टू बी लाइक द लोटस फीट्स, देन द काफ्स, एंड देन द वेस्ट, एंड देन द चेस्ट, एंड देन 9th कैंटो इज लाइक द चेस्ट एंड द नेक पार्ट, एंड देन 10th कैंटो इज कंसिडर्ड टू बी द स्माइलिंग फेस ऑफ लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण, एंड 11th एंड 12th कैंटो आर लाइक द फोर हेड। सो एक्चुअली एज पर द हिस्टोरिकल कैलकुलेशन व्हाट आई हर्ड, श्रीमद भागवतम टूक 7 days टू बी स्पोकन फॉर। महाराज परीक्षित हैड कर्स दैट 7 days यू विल डाय, एंड नाउ दिस श्रीमद भागवतम 10th कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर वॉज स्पोकन ऑलमोस्ट एट द एंड ऑफ द 4th डे। इट इज सेड दैट 10th कैंटो फर्स्ट 3 चैप्टर्स वर स्पोकन एंड द 4th डे वॉज फिनिश्ड, एंड देन 5th, 6th, 7th डेज वेयर फॉर 10th, 11th, and 12th। Certainly, 10th canto is one of the major in size also. It has around 90 chapters. Most of the cantos have 10, 15, or 20. I think 3rd and 4th canto, which are big, have around 30, 32 chapters. But 10th canto itself has 90 chapters. When Srila Prabhupada originally wanted to write Srimad Bhagavatam in his original dream, he thought Srimad Bhagavatam to be presented in 60 volume set, 60, the smaller black ones, of which we are today 30 only. And Prabhupada thought the 10th canto will make up around 25-30 volumes of that. And others, all 9 cantos will be the almost half. So this is the beginning. First 2 verses are just like introduction. As we'll read the verse, we'll understand that. Shri Rajo Vacha कथितः वंशविस्तारो भवता सोमसूर्ययोः राज्ञां चोभयवंश्यानां चरितं परमाद्भुतम्। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पड बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। Translation. King Parikshit said, "My dear Lord, you have elaborately described the dynasties of both the moon god and the sun god with the exalted and wonderful character of their kings." Purport. At the end of the 9th canto, 24th chapter, Sukhdev Goswami summarized the activities of Krishna. He spoke of how Krishna had personally appeared to reduce the burden on the earth, how he had manifested his pastimes as a householder, and how soon after his birth he had transferred himself to his Vraj Bhumi Leela. Parikshit Maharaj, being naturally a devotee of Krishna, wanted to hear more about Lord Krishna. Therefore, to encourage Sukhdev Goswami to continue speaking about Krishna and give further details, he thanked Sukhdev Goswami for having described the activities of Krishna in brief. Sukhdev Goswami had said, "Jato gata pitru gruhat vrjam editartho हत्वा रिपुन सूत सतानि कृतदारः उत्पाद्यतेषु पुरुष कृतुभि समिज्जे आत्मानम आत्मनिगमं प्रथयान जनेषु। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉडहेड श्री कृष्ण, नोन एज लीला पुरुषोत्तम, अपीयर्ड एज द सन ऑफ वासुदेव बट इमिडिएटली लेफ्ट हिज फादर्स होम and went to Vrindavan to expand his loving relationships with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons And afterwards, he returned to Dwarka, where, according to Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons, and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of householder life. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.24.66. The Yadu dynasty belonged to the family descending from Som, the moon god. Although the planetary systems are so arranged that the sun comes first before the moon, Parishit Maharaj gave more respect to the dynasty of the moon god, the Som Vamsa, because in the Yadav dynasty descending from the moon, Krishna had appeared. There are two different Kshatriya families of the royal order, one descending from the king of the moon and the other descending from the king of sun. Whenever the supreme personality of God appears, he generally appears in a Kshatriya family because he comes to establish religious principles and a life of righteousness. According to Vedic system, the Kshatriya family is the protector of human race. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared as Lord Ramchandra, he appeared in the Surya Vamsa, the family descending from Sun God. And when he appeared as Krishna, he did so in Yadu Vamsa, or the descent whose descent was from the Moon God. In the 9th canto, 24th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a long list of the kings of Yadu Vamsa. All the kings in both the Soma Vamsa and the Surya Vamsa were great and powerful, and Maharaj Parikshit praised them very highly. Rajnyam cho abhaya vamsyam charitam paramadbhutam. Nonetheless, he wanted to hear more about the Soma Vamsa because that was the dynasty in which Krishna had appeared. The abode of the personality of Godhead Krishna is described in Brahma Samhita as the abode of Chintamani. Chintamani prakara sadmasu kalpa ruksha lakshavruteshu surabhir abhipalayantam. The Vrindavan Dham on this earth is a replica of that same abode. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 8.20, in the spiritual sky there is another eternal nature, transcendental to manifest and unmanifest matter. The manifest world can be seen in the form of many stars and planets, such as the moon, the sun. But beyond this is the unmanifested, which is imperceptible to those who are embodied. And beyond this unmanifested matter is the kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom, which is described in Bhagavad Gita as the supreme and eternal. That kingdom is never annihilated. Although material nature is subject to repeated creation and annihilation, that spiritual nature remains as it is eternally. In the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that spiritual nature, the spiritual world, is described as Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan or Vraj Dham. The elaborate description of the above mentioned shloka from 9th canto, Jata Pitro Grahat, will be found here in the 10th canto. Hare Krishna. So it's around 10 or maybe, no, around 12 years back somewhere, because as Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu pointed out, I remember when I joined the temple, maybe in around 94, my first race was the sound system, and I remember giving that the most difficult job is to give a title or name to the lecture. It's like every almost the same contents are repeated and you have to give some name. And already, actually, as it goes late, it becomes more difficult. Because already there are 2,000 names and you have to give something new. So it becomes more difficult. But then in that, after giving title, I had to mention that verse number also, Srimad Bhagavatam. So at that time, it was almost 10th canto going on. And His Holiness Narayana Maharaj was mostly speak on 10th canto. And we went on till 14th chapter, where up till where Srila Prabhupada had commented personally. And actually before that, in this temple, from first canto they began, but because of some reasons unknown, they did not go verse by verse. They took first canto, maybe then not second, maybe third, like something like that. I don't know exactly which were missed and which were not missed. But we did not go serially from first canto, first verse till the 10th canto, because sometimes the books were not available in the very initial days or something like that. We did not go very serially. That was what I remember. Sometimes 5th canto and then directly say 8 or something. So when the 10th canto, 14th chapter was done, then it was decided by the committee. You call it CSV. There are different committees having, same committees having different names or something like that. The committee that we'll begin from the first chapter again. And this time we are thorough. I remember being here that we had discussed each and every verse. Certainly only rare soul might be here, like our Srivas Thakur was standing. He was my predecessor Acharya in the sound system. He handed over all the recording things to me and making the list and everything. So he might be remembering all these things. Although this temple hall is the only fortunate witness to have heard all the Bhagavatam classes on every verse. This, I think even the marbles are not so fortunate wood. Only this atmosphere, and certainly Radha Gopinath, Gaur Nitai, they are the ones who have been the most steady in attending the Srimad Bhagavatam. They have not missed a single Bhagavatam class, single verse. I don't think any even full-time resident is here for all the 365 days. They go out for preaching, they are sick, they go out for yatra, so many things. There are so many services. So only Radha Gopinath, Gaur Nitai, Gopalji, Srila Prabhupada are the most steady audience for Srimad Bhagavatam. They have heard every verse being spoken. And we have heard tits and bits here and there, whatever we could. So this is the 10th canto beginning. In this verse especially, before discussing, I would like to just brief us, most of you may be knowing this, how the first canto began. What is the circumstances, background, narration. Like we have dramas, and before that drama there is some narration to make us aware of what's the whole situation. So narration is that Maharaj Parikshit has got a curse to die in 7 days. And most of us, having received this curse or blessing or whatever you may think about it, most of us, or rather I would say almost all of us, would get completely confused. We will not know what to do, what not to do. Even if we somehow or other we come to conclusion that I should read Srimad Bhagavatam, we'll be confused. What should I read? This part or that part? Or 9th canto or 10th canto? Shall I go to 10th canto or begin from 1st canto? And the moment we'll take it, the first thought before reading will be, is there some hope that I can live more than 7 days? Srimad Bhagavatam might be in our hand, but our thought will be, let the doctor try out some latest research. They can elongate. Like Srila Prabhupada would tell this story of a big businessman in America. That businessman was told that you have some 2 days to die. And he had actually multi-million or billion or trillion dollars in his bank account. And he gave a blank check to the doctors. And he told, you fill up the amount, but extend my life by a few months or a few years. And the doctor says, that we can't do. We can't extend, even at the cost of millions or trillions of dollars, we can't extend your life by even 1 second. So Maharaj Parikshit got this curse. And in one sense, Maharaj Parikshit was at the top of the whole of earth. Means he was the boss in modern language. He was the unopposed king of the whole earth. Not only some India or America or something like that. Actually, no country has absolute power today. Each country is afraid of so many other countries. And there is so much fear and wars and going on. But Maharaj Parikshit was single-handedly controlling the whole earth to the extent that he had even defeated Kali and stopped its approach. Although time-wise, the Kali should have began his influence. And some influence was noticed by Maharaj Parikshit. He saw that people are getting tending towards cheating. Maharaj Parikshit, how he noted that Kali had come, people are having more tendency towards cheating others. And in this world, I know if you have to do any dealing, even from buying some 2 rupees dhaniya patta or something, to the dealing of 2 crores or 200 crores. You have to remove every scope of cheating in that. If you buy something with him, but either he will give less. And even the shopkeeper has to be careful because sometimes the customer picks up more. Instead of one bundle, he picks up 2 bundles, something. So Maharaj Parikshit saw that some cheating tendency is creeping amongst his citizens. And he understood by this that age of Kali has come in and immediately went out to see what's the cause of cheating tendency creeping into the citizens. And he was such a king that he took it as his responsibility that the citizens are becoming a little bit immoral. They are cheating others. That means it's my responsibility as a king to go out and find what's the cause. And he found out that the Kali had began his influence. And we know story in the first canto that how Maharaj Parikshit stopped the effect of Kali. And directly or indirectly, as we call it, he gave Kali 4 places to stay. Striyam, Panam, Dyuta, Sunam. Where there is illicit sex, intoxication, gambling and meditating. But Kali came back and said that such a place doesn't exist in your kingdom. So in one way, Maharaj Parikshit has stopped Kali. He was the controller of the whole earth, single-handedly, Chakravarti Samrat. At such a power, he was faced with a situation which is very difficult to face. Death in 7 days. His Holiness Anath Maharaj would always say that this is the exact nature of material world. It happens like that. When you are in the, generally it happens, or mostly it will happen. Or if it had not happened up till now, it will happen. When someone is in the peak of his success, the peak, he has achieved the positions materially, he has grown up in his rank and file, he has become grown up or well respected financially, he has good family, his children are well settled. When he is in the peak of everything, the peak of material success, like we have got this sine graph or wave. For a simple way, we can say wave. When that crest and troughs in language, the top is the crest. So when a man is on the top, actually it's very natural that after that is the fall down. But he thinks our situation will be like this. Maharaj Parikshit was on the top. He was young, 24 years. 28 years, something like that, in 20s. Very less people become successful in such a time. In 20s, you are the controller of the whole earth, not someone bank, ICICI or something like that. He is not just CEO of some ICICI India. No. Even that position, he was the top in the whole earth. And then, no opposition. He could control time, effects of time basically. And he himself is now faced with a situation. This is the material world. The moment we understand that in my life, I am on the crest of the success. Physically, socially, financially. Then please be prepared for the next step that is going to come. It may come in the form of financial meltdown or tsunami, means physical water tsunami or some nuclear reactor explosion. Or some your own personal diseases like heart attacks, brain, whatever it may be, cancers or something. Something will come. So be prepared. This is exact nature of material world. And no one is excused. Maharaj Parikshit was not only successful materially, even his spiritual and his family background is extraordinary. His family background is, his grandfather is Arjun, his grandfather's name Abhimanyu, and Abhimanyu's mother is Subhadra. So from that side, his grandmother's brother is Lord Krishna himself. So from all the sides in his family, mother's sides, father's sides, grandmother's side, he has glorious history. Just think, Krishna's sister's grandson. If we see it in that reverse way, Maharaj Parikshit is Krishna's sister's grandson. So close. our sister and just son's son, that's all. But still, Maharaj Parikshit was not excused from this material law. So, I don't think any one of us has a scope for it. If Maharaj Parikshit was not excused from this material law, that having reached the crest of his success, of done what it may be, and then suddenly a big trough fall down. It happens something, I never gone there, but I have seen sometimes something like that SL world, they go up and then they go down, and then they again go up, something like that. When you go up, you are feeling some joy. And when you go down, almost everyone of all the people are like some words, almost on the verge of screaming. Many scream also. Their faces are white. So Maharaj Parikshit was not excused from such a situation or calamity. And none of us will be. Bhagavad Gita also Krishna doesn't promise that I will protect you from the troughs that will come after the crest. He doesn't promise. He doesn't discuss that. He says, always remember me. His instructions are very clear. He says, I will protect you from all the sins as a spiritual principle, but not from the influences of material world which are going to come about with this body. It's not going to happen. So in such a reverse situation, Maharaj Parikshit, in the end of the first canto, where the scene for this dialogue has been set up, he's praying to the Brahmanas, Tama mopayantam pratyantu vipra, Gangam cha devi durachittam ishe, Dijopasastam kuhakas takshakova, Dashat valam gayato Vishnu gatha. He's saying, O Brahmanas, means Sud Goswami, Sukhdev Goswami, and others who are assembled over there, please go on singing. Go on singing the glories of Vishnu, Vishnu gatha. Don't stop. Although 7 days are only there, don't stop. Let this snake bird or wood, whatever it may be, come. Please don't stop this Vishnu gatha. And then he also goes on to say, Ms. Sukhdev Goswami goes on to say, Sud Goswami, that in this world, Tulyam Lavenapi Na Swargam Na Punar Bhavam. Lava means actually it's a very small part of a second also. Muhurta, Lava, these are the Vedic time calculation. So he says, even we can't compare one fraction. Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu, we heard this word, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Shastra Kai. So Maharaj Parikshit is telling here that a small moment's association with devotees, one moment, we all have experience of this, with that one moment of association with devotees, our lives have changed. It all begins with one moment. If you ask how it happened, some devotee gave me a phone call. Some devotee told, there's good food over here, please come. That was mostly what happens in colleges, universities. Sometimes, even to get some small sweet is difficult in the mess. Small sweet, which we used to give only small sweet in our weekly college programs. So, that is also a great attraction in the hostels. At least we'll get some sweet. We would call it sukudi or something like that. Or what are different types, besan, laddu. So that's an attraction. That's an attraction, like whole week the boys are thinking, when will that sweet come back? Because generally they get it only when someone comes from the home or the programs, that's all. In the mess, they don't have sweets. Once in a while they have. That's also very limited in quantity. I remember that. So this is saying, somehow that every devotee's life begins with one moment change. So one moment someone goes, someone gives you a book, and that one moment results in the future. We don't know how the things open up. So Maharaj Parikshit is telling, this one moment of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from all the great sages, I don't know which will click into me. So one moment's association of devotees, Bhagavat Sanghi Sanghasya. We should not limit it only to pure devotees. Yes, association of pure devotees, advanced devotees are more hankered about their service. But any devotees who are the Supreme Lord, Krishna doesn't differentiate much between devotees and pure devotees. He differentiates not much, but why? Because he only sees the pure aspect of devotional service. Because Krishna only sees the pure aspect of devotional service, he doesn't differentiate. Like even when he sees Putana, he only sees how she has come to feed me with love. Otherwise, if you had seen the whole of Putana, there was no scope for her to go back to Godhead. If Krishna considered the whole of Putana, it's logically we see this is not possible. How can a lady coming to kill baby Krishna, although she fed Krishna her milk, but still she came to kill him, and she had in the past killed millions or thousands and lakhs of other children. Killing is bad, and killing small babies is much more bad. So having with such a historical qualification and brother of Agha and Baka, so with this whole background, there is no scope for Putana to go back to Godhead. But Krishna's glory is, he only sees the pure part. One small pure part that she is coming to feed me. There are so many others like Charun and Mushtik. They had no much positive emotions. But Krishna saw that they at least give me some pleasure by wrestling with me. The point is, Krishna doesn't see the negative parts. Although they are present, he doesn't deny them. It's not that so we can behave any way, any wrong way, and Krishna will see only the good part. We should not think that about our own self. But still, that's how Krishna, we should look at other devotees in that way. And Krishna is so focused. He is fully focused on seeing only the pure part of other devotees. Other in the sense, all the devotees. And if we see only the pure part of all the devotees, then this world is Vaikuntha. This world is Vaikuntha. Like yesterday, Muralidhar Prabhu was speaking that about some, what he gave, example he gave? Somebody, yes, the citizens of India were revolting against why there is drought. They are complaining against Indira Gandhi. The citizens of India were complaining against Indira Gandhi that why there is drought in India. And Prabhupada says, see, they are Krishna conscious. Because they are understanding that the king is the representative of God. And he is supposed to maintain even the climatic conditions. He is responsible for that. And therefore, they are God conscious. So, this is somehow that we have to learn to focus only on the pure aspects of the people. Or the devotees or whoever we touch with. So, this Maharaj Parikshit is telling, Tulyan Laven Api Na Swargam Na Punarbhavam. This second association with devotees. It just changes. Somehow or other, sometimes indirect association also. Like especially when some of us might have gone to a program by getting some pamphlet. Some devotee might have come and put up a pamphlet in your door. I remember, I know one case. Generally, we don't know how it happens. One or 2 years back in Janmashtami, we had made a big advertisement. And then just one person somehow the read that big notice, there is Janmashtami. He said, let us go and try. So that is an indirect association with devotee. Somebody put up a banner or the handbill or post pamphlet and we don't know who gave and then it just came. And then Krishna inspired. So Maharaj Parikshit is therefore telling that even a moment's association with a pure devotee is much more important than millions of years in Swargalok. Tulyam Lavenapi Na Swargam Na Punarbhavam. Or actually he is saying it's much more important than liberation. Na apunarbhavam. Just getting liberation is much, much less important than a holy association of a devotee for one lava. Lava is a smaller than second. And Maharaj Parikshit is not just like going on imaginary expanding his ideas. He means what he says. So here he had heard 4 days Bhagavatam Katha has gone on day and night. And now almost 4th day is going to end. And he prays. In the first 2 verses of 10th canto, he says, he just summarizes or paraphrases what he has heard. And in the 3rd verse and 4th verse, he'll request Sukhdeva Goswami what he expects to be spoken now. In the 1st verse he says, Kathito vamsa vistaro bhavata soma suryayo. He has already spoken in vamsa vistar. Vistar means great detail. If you go to 9th canto, 7th canto, sometimes there are chapters after chapters. Just telling the son of this was this, the son of this was this. The names after names after names after names are coming on. We saw in the ninth canto also, last, second, last, third, last chapter. So many. So Maharaj Parikshit is telling, you have already described in detail. The various Vamsa Vistar of Soma Suryayo, the family of moon god and sun god. In India or in Vedic culture, the Kshatriyas are divided into two families. One are the descendants of sun god and another are the descendants of moon god. Like we say, Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Manu, like sun god Vivasvan gave to Manu, Manu gave to Ikshvaku. And that is the family Ikshvaku gave to Raghu, and Raghukul is the family of Lord Shri Ramchandra. So that is the family which is coming down as Kshatriyas from sun god. And another family of Kshatriyas come from moon god. So Bharat Prasad is telling that you have described both the families in great detail. Not only that, Rajnyam Cho Ubhaya Vamshyam Charitam Paramadbhutam. You have described the great and wonderful activities of the kings of both the families. Actually, Vedic scriptures give very simple logic. It's sometimes so simple, it's difficult for our complex mind to understand. Like Srila Prabhupada is saying here, the sun comes before the moon. In Vedic cosmology, it is said that the sun is closer than the moon. For modern science, it may be very difficult to digest. But in due course of time, maybe they will find out. And sometimes they would ask Prabhupada, what's your proof for that? It's so simple. We say Sunday first, then Monday, then Tuesday. Actually, it's that way. Like suppose it's common sense. If I ask anyone, please tell me the stations from here to Thana. So generally, one who knows, he will speak serially. Viti, then Masjid, then Bhaikala. One who knows, he will speak serially. He won't just speak randomly. One who knows will speak with some logic. Huh? The more you know, the more your speech and the language becomes more logical and more systematic. Nowadays, we may be very proud of all these fantastic twists in all the languages. Even in English, they are coming. Like B and then 4 and something like that. That's the sign of actually weak brain. Yeah, sorry. Losing a system in any language or anything, systematic behavior, so systematic writing and reading, or no end, you can start a paragraph here or you can end it over there. We may think, no, see, we can do anyway. That's okay, just better accept that we are weak-brained, like we can't write it properly. But actually, that we see previously people would just speak out in shlokas, Sanskrit shlokas. We can't, even if we spend our one life, I think it's difficult for us to make one shloka. What to speak out directly while talking. So, when a persons are intelligent and have a lot of brain and physical power, they behave in a different way. That's a different thing. So, here we see all the activities of Maharaj, of the kings are given. And when it is, Prabhupada would give this logic that in all, and it's all over the world, in Europe, in America, everywhere Sunday comes first, and then Moon Day, and then Mangalwar, Budhwar, Jovi, Tuesday, Wednesday, the different planets in their successive orders. So the Vedic scripture says sun is closer, and technically, therefore, the sun is given more importance. Prabhupada would sometimes give another very simple logic. Modern science says the moon reflects the light of the sun. But Prabhupada says the sun's light is hot and moon's light is cool. How is it possible? If something is being reflected, the qualities remain the same. We don't see if there is hot fire and we just reflect it through a mirror. Still, the reflected light is also warm. It's not cool. It may lose the temperature because of its flow, but it doesn't change the quality from hot to cool. So Prabhupada says it's very easy. They are not reflecting lights. Because the sun is warm and the moon is cool. Very difficult. Modern scientists, which would Prabhupada, could not answer this simple question. So therefore we see, but here, Maharaj Parikshit is speaking in a different way. Soma Suryayo is not giving Surya Soma, Sunday, Monday. Because, see, the people were, intelligent people would speak in a system and intelligent people would understand and respond in some particular system. When Maharaj Parikshit would have spoken the name of sun before and then moon later, it certainly would have indicated that he wants to hear about the sun family first and the moon family afterwards. And Sukhdev Goswami was intelligent enough to pick up this subtle meaning. For us, it's okay. For us, we may give our own goody things. Arre kahin se bhi khao, sab ek hi hai. Laddu. So we can give our own logics to justify our weakness. But here both, the audience and the speaker are equally qualified. So Maharaj Parikshit is choosing, like we see in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada explains, why this name of Krishna is coming. Everything was just spoken logically with system. Sometimes Madhusudan comes, sometimes Arisudan comes, sometimes Madhava comes. In the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, especially Srila Prabhupada explains, why here the name of Madhava has come. Why Arjun, for us, if you have to, if some person has 10 names, whatever comes into our mind, we'll call him. And we may say, Arre, he understood now what I am saying. So we may give our logic to justify our weakness of brain. But when the people are qualified, then they behave and speak in a different way which we cannot copy. Similarly, here we see Maharaj Parikshit is specially telling Soma Suryo that please first tell in detail the families of sun god. Because in the family of sun god, moon god, please tell in detail first the family of moon god. Because in the family of moon god, Lord Krishna has appeared. And I want to hear, in the next third verse he will say, I want to hear about the moon god and his family from beginning till end. And again, as the same word has come in the third verse, Krutavan yani vishvatma tani no veda vistarat. Whatever activities Krishna has performed, please tell them in detail, vistarat. And you know, vistar means please tell them in detail. So Maharaj Parikshit wants to ensure here that no shortcuts. Actually, he says, don't think the time for prasad has come. Like in for our modern days bodies, we have to think that way. See, speaker and I'm not saying I am above. Even the speaker is thinking. Sometimes he thinks, I am more hungry. Let me end the class quicker. Like the audience thinks, the speaker also sometimes thinks that way. But here, there is no such question. Here, it's both open-ended. Open-ended scheme. No end. Maharaj Parikshit is saying, no arrangements of prasad are required and have been done. Both. Like this Nirjal Ekadashi, we had a few days back. The kitchen was locked. That is a very good way to have Krishna Katha. No anxiety, even all can participate. Sometimes then some have to lose, then there is some sound, somebody has to go and get the vegetable. Here, 7 days Nirjal, and both are completely engrossed. Not actually, if you want to have proper Krishna Katha, that is a good way. We can have sometimes, may not have every day, but at least sometimes. No anxiety, like we have Gaur Purnima, Janmashtami, these days are better. No anxieties for end of Krishna Katha. Let them go on. Maharaj Parikshit tried or did for 7 days. We can try for at least 1 day or 2 days. Let the Katha go on. And Maharaj Parikshit is telling, let it go on, no end. Please don't take any shortcuts or think that I am tired, I need some sleep. No, you go on. We are both attentive. Maharaj Parikshit was attentive and Sukhdev Goswami was attentive. And I was saying in the beginning of the class that how, in spite of being Maharaj Parikshit, he was not protected. But sometimes he was protected also. One of his name is Vishnu Rat. That means when Maharaj Parikshit was a small baby in the womb of his mother, a Brahmastra was thrown on him by Ashwatthama, by Brahma Bandhu, by an unqualified Brahmana. See, two dangers, two life-threatening dangers came to Maharaj Parikshit. by unqualified brahmanas in the form of Brahmastra and Brahmashap. Both are astras. Brahmastra is also actually a verbal astra. It is an arrow, but it is empowered by the mantras. And here again, it's a verbal astra that you will die in 7 days. In the first case, Lord Krishna went out of the way. He entered the womb of Uttar. Maharaj Parikshit's mother, he entered the womb. And Brahmastra had started taking the effect on Maharaj Parikshit. And he protected Maharaj Parikshit from Brahmastra. And then we see here, similar situation, another unqualified Brahmana, Shrungi, he has now thrown another astra that will die in 7 days. And Maharaj Parikshit is not protected. Krishna is just saying, okay, let it be so. So this may happen in our life also. Sometimes when there are some dangers in our life, we come and look at Krishna and we see Krishna is smiling. It will be okay. We feel something like that. But Krishna is actually always smiling. When the dangers sometimes are protected or they are not protected, Krishna is always smiling. We always come and he is always smiling. But we think, we sab theek ho jayega. Krishna ne smile diya tha. Krishna smiled at me. But sometimes it is going to happen in the life that in spite Krishna is, here also Krishna is smiling. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit has got a curse to die in 7 days. So we may plan and we may think Krishna's smile is there. So all things will happen as per our choice in this material world. In this material world, things happen only as per Krishna's choice. Only. There is no second choice. There is nothing else. Whatever Krishna chooses, the things happen that way. Sometimes we may feel, it has happened good, it has happened bad. Krishna is the only planner, controller and deciding factor. We also plan our lives. I will do this, I will do that. I will have this much and I will have that much. Which may be told as it's our responsibility as a guruhastha or something. But actually the planning job is Krishna's job. We try to usurp their position. It's actually one way of demonic mentality. Let Krishna do the planning job. Let us just face his plan and execute and support his plan. Once, there's some side story with Gaurang Prabhu once spoke. He says, sometimes in this material world, the things can come out in a completely different way. One thief, like this can happen to us also in the sense of planning aspect. Once one thief has visited, he was thinking where to steal, which is easy target, where there is a lot of money. So he went into a hotel and he saw this hotel has a lot of customers and also it's a higher end up hotel, so good money is also coming in. So he planned that Sunday evening is a good time to loot this hotel because I will get a lot of cash around 10 p.m. And also the people inside are wealthy off on the Sunday evening. So one Sunday evening, when the hotel was packed with people, he came in with a and just took out his gun and he just put it towards the people and said, you are on surrendered position. Raise your hand and stand up. But at one table, there are around 10-15 people sitting. Immediately they all stood up with all of them with a gun pointing towards the thief. They are all policemen having party. Ex-policemen. So when this man saw 15 guns pointing towards himself, his gun dropped from his head. So in this way, in material world, we may do so many planning. With our guns, we may do financial planning, we may do health planning, we may do wealth planning. So many schemes are there. But when three Yamdutas come with a gun, all our guns fall off. There is no scope for that. Three may come, one may come. Actually, it's a very fearful situation. One devotee I know, his father was a great atheist, a Gnostic, in US. And he never believed in the Supreme Lord. But during the time, and he was like something like a military man or a policeman, very powerful and proud of his strength. So he told, he was not present, this devotee was not present when his father died. But he told what he heard from his mother, who was present when his father died. His mother told him, her son, that when your father was about to die, I could see extreme fear on his face And mother told, I never in my whole life, we are together, I have never seen fear on the face of my husband or your father. But only at the time of death is the only one time when I could see that he was looking at some people, some figures, and feeling extreme fear. And not only that, he was asking me for the gun. Now, please get me my gun. I want to shoot at them. But still, when Krishna's plans are there, our guns fail. We may have the gun and we may click it, but nothing may happen. Many things may happen. So here we should understand, in this life, anytime, calamities will come. It's just like California earthquake. Whole world, whole America knows that California is sitting on a big risk zone of earthquake. Some fault line, they call it. And they know more later the earthquake will come, the more powerful it is going to be. Only, it's not a question whether the earthquake will come or not. It's a question when and how powerful. And as it is getting delayed, it's going to come in a more powerful way. Similarly, there's a fault line. Everyone's lifeline has a fault line. All of us can have a look at your own hands if you know something. But everyone's lifeline has a fault line, for sure. And that fault is going to come. When? We don't know. It may come today, tomorrow. But are we ready like Maharaj Parikshit to hear Srimad Bhagavatam with complete attention? In this way, this is the like introduction to the 10th canto. Like, we can, for coming 1 or 2 years, till the time this beautiful smiling face of Lord Krishna is being described, we can be attentive like Maharaj Parikshit. And as I said, only few members are the most steady audience over here. We can try to increase our attendance as much as possible. Nowadays, they have made the facility to hear class via internet. But this is for those who not stay here. Those who stay outside the campus, in their home, in their offices, they can listen live classes, see the live classes. If you are in home but you are free, you can listen that way and be in Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible. Today also Shiva's Pandit VC, therefore the Panchatattva deities are brought out, Disappearance Day. I thought maybe we'll discuss something about that. Shiva's Pandit, we know, is one of the members of Panchatattva, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas. He is the incarnation of devotee. Gadadhar Pandit is the internal potency and Shiva's Pandit is the devotional potency. Shiva's Pandit is in original form is Narada Muni. And he had 4 brothers. So Parvat Muni also came in as Ramayi Pandit and others, Shripati and Shri Didi. These 4 brothers, all of them were actually born somewhere in Srihatta. And from there they thought, let us go and stay closer to Mother Ganges. And therefore they came and started staying in Navdeep, Mayapur. And always Sachi Mata and Shiva's Pandit's wife Malini Devi were good friends. They would help each other. So when Lord Chaitanya was about to appear, take birth, at that time also Malini Devi was called to help with the childbirth process. And she was present there. And even though we see Lord Chaitanya's home is Yoga Peet, but most of the Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, which are most intimate and most important, took place in Shiva Sangha. Lord Chaitanya was born here, but his maximum pastimes with maximum intimacy of his devotees took place in Shiva Sangha. All day night they would do kirtan there. All day during day also Lord Chaitanya would spend most of his time over there. We see before Lord Chaitanya became a devotee, or in the sense he started preaching before he went to Gaya and met his spiritual master, he was behaving like a proud person. And that time once Shiva's Pandit thought of giving a good counsel, good advice to Nimai Pandit. He said, "Oh Nimai, what's the use of your learning? You are such a great scholar. But all this scholarship is useful only if you can get out of, by using this scholarship, you can get out of birth and death. Otherwise, if you don't know Krishna And if you don't render your devotional service to Krishna, all your scholarship is useless. So Nimai Pandit said, thank you. By your blessing, one day I will understand what you are saying and then my scholarship will be fruitful. And as we know, when Lord Chaitanya went to Gaya, and then when he came back, then slowly, slowly the news spread and Lord Chaitanya started big preaching. Also, one day afterwards, Lord Chaitanya, in the daytime, came running straight in the house of Shivas Pandit. And he started asking, oh Shivas, whom are you worshipping? Why are you worshipping the different supreme lords, different forms of supreme lord? Whom you are calling, I personally am present over here. And saying this, Lord Chaitanya went and sat on the asana of the supreme lord in Shivas Pandit's house. And Shivas Pandit started glorifying the supreme lord. Here we see that many other pastimes happened, showing the surrender of Shivas Pandit, the death of Shivas Pandit's son. Even Shivas Pandit's son can die. We are discussing about Maharaj Parikshit. And Lord Chaitanya did not interfere that course of the flow of material nature. We should take this point that Shivas Pandit, the most intimate devotee, when Lord Chaitanya was doing kirtan one night, in the night time his son inside was having some fever and something and he died. And the woman inside started crying and making some sounds. And Shivas Pandit, here Lord Chaitanya's kirtan is going on. Shivas Pandit could hear something, some disturbance, and he went in. He saw his son is dead. And some ladies are crying. He chastised them. He says, this is the most fortunate death. Our son has died when the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is performing kirtan in our own home. And still the ladies were not so consoled. He says, your crying will disturb the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya. And if you don't, even if you want to cry, first of all, he tried to say that there is no need to lament. This is the best death possible. But they could not be consoled. So even if you want to cry, please wait till the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya is over and then you cry. At least postpone it. Still he said, he saw that nothing, the sound was low, but still it was not completely silent. He said, if I see that Lord Chaitanya's kirtan is disturbed by your crying, at this moment I will go and jump into Ganga. So already the son has gone and the father will also go. Then they were little silenced and then he came back and started performing Lord Chaitanya, kirtan with Lord Chaitanya. When the time about the night was about to end, when the kirtan would generally end, just before that Lord Chaitanya could feel that something is... So see, nothing remains secret in this world. Even if there are no SMS, no emails, but still... Actually, this is very important. The spreading of news, which is not supposed to spread, has taken place at the same pace, even in the advanced, technologically advanced stage or unadvanced stage. So even during Shiva's Pandit's time, slowly, slowly, the whole, all, everyone except Lord Chaitanya came to know that the son of Shiva's Pandit is dead. So when Lord Chaitanya stopped, he asked, there is some issue, some problem over here. Shivas Pandit said, what can be unfortunate when you are present in my home, Lord Chaitanya? But some devotees came up and told Lord Chaitanya that Shivas Pandit's son died. Lord Chaitanya asked, how much time back? Somebody said, one or two prahar back. One prahar. One prahar is around 3 hours. So that time back the son had died. Lord Chaitanya said, why no one informed me? Shiva said, because the wonderful kirtan was going on. You were all dancing and singing the holy names of God. Immediately Lord Chaitanya went where the son's dead body was lying and touched the body and the son got up. And he said, oh Lord, means the Lord told the son, where are you going, leaving your parents over here? The son said, by your order, I came here. And only by your order, when my time is over, I am going away from here. And giving one or two more instructions like this, he again became dead. So we understand that Lord Chaitanya or the Supreme Lord himself generally doesn't interfere with the course of material actions. They help us to remember Krishna. That is important. After the son was dead, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda consoled Malini Devi and Shivas Pandit. Anyway, we two are like your sons. So you don't be aggrieved much, myself and Nityanand Prabhu. Nityanand Prabhu would behave like a son many times. And Malini Devi had even to bathe him and feed him, even though Nityanand Prabhu was externally elderly in age. So after that, when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri, most of the devotees who were in Navdeep Mayapur could not bear the separation. They said, we are staying in Mayapur without Lord Chaitanya, it's impossible. So when Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and went to Jagannath Puri, most of the devotees went to different places. Somebody went to Mudrum Dweep, Mam Gachi. Shivas Pandit shifted from Navdeep Mayapur to a place called Kumarhat. Nowadays it is called Halishar. That is the place where Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master, Ishwar Puri, was born. There Shivas Pandit shifted. Near that place is Shivanand Sen's place also. So Lord Shivas Pandit shifted there. And after sannyas, when Lord was coming back, he went to Kumarhat. And there Lord Chaitanya at that time blessed Shivas Pandit. Shivas Pandit would not do any work externally. No job, no business. He was a family man. He had gruhastha. He had a big house, four brothers, servants. He had to maintain all of them. Shivas Pandit was a gruhastha. He had a wife, children, four brothers, servants, house, and all had to be maintained. But he would do no job and no business. And not that he had some big bank balance. Not that at all so. Lord Chaitanya asked this question to Shivas Pandit. Hey, how come? Hey, you go out and work, Baba. You have a family man and no job and no business. What are you doing? Shivas Pandit says, answered. Lord Chaitanya asked, how do you maintain your family? Shivas Pandit clapped three times. One, two, three. Lord Chaitanya says, what is that? I am not telling some joke that you clap. I am asking a serious question. How you maintain your family? You have such a big family of four brothers, their family, servants, house, big house. How you maintain them? Shivas Pandit again claps. One, two, three. Lord Chaitanya says, please explain what you are meaning. Shivas Pandit said, if I need any single thing in my house, maybe grains or whatever it may be, and by the time I clap three times, if I don't get that, then I should consider that no, my time is over and I have to go to the Gangas and jump, end my life. We don't have such a faith, so we should not try that way. There is no Ganga also over here. There is Ban Ganga, but don't try for it. But Shivas Pandit had such a faith. He was completely dependent on Supreme Lord that Lord will maintain. And it happened for his whole life. Whenever anything was required in his home, all things came to his home unsolicited. He would not say, "Main mangne raha hu, thoda bhej dena alag se." Something like that. Not that way. He would just chant and arrange for Lord Chaitanya's kirtan and night kirtan, and then the things, without asking, people would some other come and give, take some rice, take some dal, take some milk, and the things would happen. And Lord Chaitanya at that time promised Shivas Pandit, it may happen that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, may become beggar or bankrupt. But Shivas Pandit, your house will never be in need. Your house, there will be never be a, that there is some scarcity in your house. Lakshmi Ji may become bankrupt, but your house will never be in scarcity. Oh, many more stories which can be discussed, but I think I have taken quite good amount of time. And today afternoon, His Grace Yugavatar Prabhu is going to speak, continuing the series of Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, Krishna Eka Saranam. You have all of you might have got that SMS. So please don't miss it. It will be a wonderful Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto class on some specific chapter. I don't know exactly which one. Hare Krishna. I think we should end now. Srila Prabhupada ki. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah.